Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
We're now ready! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Whenever you're a Boston team and you can beat a New York team, whether it's preseason, regular season, postseason, always a fun time. Always a good time. Welcome in to CLNS Radio's post-game coverage of tonight's preseason game between the Celtics and the New York Knicks. Again, CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show is back. We're going to knock a little bit more dust off tonight after the long summer and only one preseason game so far that we broadcast on. So we're getting ready for an exciting season of Celtics basketball again. Tonight, the Celtics go to 5-1 in the preseason, with a 99-85 victory over the New York Knicks. Again, I am your host, Sean Backe. Joining me tonight will be the co-host of Red Sox Beat on CLNS Radio, Jess Thomas. Don't forget to check out our new Twitter handle exclusively for this post-game show. Be sure to follow at CLNS Celts PG Show and tweet live with the host during the show. But also getting cue when we open up the FanDuel call lines as well. That's 347-215-7771. And don't forget that this episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Let's bring in my co-host, Jess Thomas. Jess, welcome to the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show tonight. You know, obviously, I talked to Timmy Scalfani about this when we hosted last week after the Nets game when they came back from Europe. It's a little hard to get into NBA mode right now with, you know, the baseball playoffs still going on and football in full swing. But the way the Celtics are playing in the preseason, it's been very exciting. What are your thoughts initially here after this one tonight, the victory 99-85 over the Knicks?
Yeah, they look great again. I mean, they've had a really good preseason, and usually I have trouble getting into it, like you said, but they're making it pretty easy to get right into it, jump right in and have some fun. They got numerous players who are solid players and a lot of guys that you can play for a number of minutes, and that's exactly what they did tonight. Almost everybody played except Isaiah Thomas and Kelly Olynyk, and everyone scored except Perry Jones and Corey Walden, but he played 13 seconds. So basically everyone scored. Everyone played between 12 and 25 minutes. So great spread of minutes and good spread of points, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, we'll get into Thomas and Olynyk a little bit later when we kind of take a look at what this team will look like going into the season, which starts – less than a week from today, Jess, but tonight's game, Jared Sullinger leads all Celtics with 16 points on 6 of 8 shooting, also chipped in with 8 rebounds and 6 assists in his 19 minutes. And other notables, Jay Crowder, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists for him, 4 of 6 shooting in his 25 minutes. And Tyler Zeller played a great game, I thought, tonight. And I think he's going to be integral to any success that the Celtics have this season as well. 15 points for him with 5 rebounds, 6 of 11 shooting in his 20 minutes. So some great contributions all around. Like you said, they were able to spread it around with the points and also with rebounding and assists. Marcus Smart had 9 assists. As I mentioned, Sullinger had 6 himself. So they spread it around and nobody played more than 27 minutes in this one. Marcus Smart played 27 minutes and he was the high man for the Celtics tonight. For the Knicks, Calderon had 17 points. I want to talk about him a little bit when we get into the Knicks a little bit later, but he had 17 points on 6 of 11 shooting. Also had 8 rebounds for the starting point guard. and 3 assists. Williams had 14 points off the bench for the Knicks. Derek Williams looked pretty good in his time out there as well. Only 4 of 9 shooting, but in his 19 minutes, but did have the 14 points. O'Quinn had 11 rebounds off the bench. So, you know, the Knicks, although they kind of hung around in this game and kind of came back in the third quarter when the Celtics had pulled away and nearly had a 20-point lead for most of the first half here, ultimately cannot come back in this one and lose it to the Celtics 99-85. But going back to the Celtics here, Jess, the one question I wanted to ask you to kind of start us off here, the starting lineup for the Celtics, you know, I kind of like the look of this starting lineup that was out there tonight. It may not be exactly what Brad Stevens rules out, the now 39-year-old Brad Stevens, as it was his birthday today, so happy birthday to Brad Stevens. But, yeah, the starting lineup for the Celtics tonight, they had Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder, or Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley in the backcourt, and then Crowder, Lee, and Zeller. What do you think the starting lineup should look like next Wednesday when the Celtics face the 76ers in the first game of the regular season? I mean, do you like this lineup that started tonight, or what would you like to see out there as far as the starting lineup for the Boston Celtics when they start up for real in a little less than a week?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think ultimately almost the lineup they had tonight, I think definitely the guards, you want Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. Obviously, Smart's a guy that they want to keep improving and keep getting more minutes since he's the future. And then Bradley deserves it just because he's been here for longer than anybody else. So I think that's a good starting backcourt. On the front court, I like Crowder at small forward, but I think I'd put Amir Johnson at power forward and Zeller at center. I think Lee's good off the bench. He, you know, he's played off the bench before in his career. He's obviously done both. He's played a lot of starter as well. But being one of the older guys and a pretty big impact player, I think he would be great to have off the bench. And then if you have him coming off the bench, Sullinger coming off the bench, and Evan Turner and Isaiah Thomas, like that's – wow. That's a lot of talent going off the bench, and then a good starting core too. So I think that would be the best starting lineup. I think that would work well.
Yeah, I like what you're thinking there, and I do want to get into Amir Johnson you know, some of the other new additions to this team, as well as the returning guys a little bit later. I just like the fact that you know, although David Lee in his 23 minutes was only 3 of 10 shooting with 7 points and 8 rebounds, you know, it seemed like he did have a little bit of trouble with the rookie Porzingis down low there. He had some nice moves down low. He had his back to the basket a couple of times, and you know, I thought he made some decent plays out there. The one thing that I really like about Zeller is that he runs the floor. Right, so he's getting out there on the break, and Marcus Smart and, you know, these other guys that are getting the ball in the outlet are finding him, and he's being rewarded for it. And he works hard, so I like him in that role that he's in now, and obviously proved to be pretty fruitful for the Celtics tonight in that role. As I said, he had 15 points for the Celtics in that starting role. But interesting about Amir Johnson, you know. Obviously, he was kind of the big splash, if you will, when it comes to free agent pickups for the Celtics. You know, I was surprised by, you know, how he's played defensively in the small sample that I've seen him in the, you know, I've only watched 2 preseason games now, and that was the one last week for the game that I hosted, the post-game show, and then obviously this one tonight. I didn't catch too much of the action over in Europe, and he was out for some of it as well. But I was surprised that he's a little bit of a better defender than I thought he was going to be. You know, obviously he spent some time in Toronto and you know, has some pretty good moves as an offensive player. But he had a really nice block on Melo tonight. And, you know, I think that obviously with his length and athleticism, that he could be a better defender than most people would give him credit for. What are your thoughts on Amir Johnson and the Celtics bringing him in and how he's looked to you so far from what you've seen from him in the preseason?
Yeah, he's looked really good. I definitely like to see more of him because, like you said, he's missed a game here and there. He missed one of the games in Europe, but he's, you know, he's tall, he's long, he moves very well for his size, and I know he's incorporated his 3-point shot, which, you know, if he can get open and get a three or two a game, that's always a positive. He works really well around the basket. There's a couple of games where he was just putting points in at will. He was having no problem down low. He's very good around the rim, good at layups. And like you said, he's gotten, seems to be getting better at defense. So, I mean, he's been in the league for 10 years. He's had a lot of success in his career. And I think just getting an expanded role here on a younger team, he'll continue to play well. And I think that was a good move. I think it was smart to get someone like that because he's obviously got good size. And like I said, he's good around the rim. So I think that was definitely a good move. And that's how I want to see him in starting lineup, see a guy with some good NBA experience, really giving him a shot in the arm. And, you know, I could see him as a guy giving him 15 to 20 points a night because he's a proven scorer. He's had a number of high scoring games in his career. And if he gets the opportunity, I don't see why he couldn't do that.
Yeah, I think he brings, you know, some pretty good veteran leadership as well from what I've heard from him. And I believe that our own Jared Weiss had the opportunity to speak with him before the game tonight. He'll be calling in a little bit later, and we'll have a discussion with him and see if he was able to do that. Obviously, you know, there's only so much time for those kind of things before a game. So hopefully he got to speak with Amir, and we can have a little bit of a further discussion about that when Jared calls in a little while here. But, you know, he's saying all the right things. From what I've heard from him, he's saying the right things. He's bringing some veteran leadership. So, you know, the fact that that they have somebody like that, and, you know, although as Celtics fans, you know, we may not have seen the fireworks that Wick Grosbeck, you know, had mentioned that that we might see over the summer, they did bring in some talent in Amir Johnson and David Lee. And if they can play it up to their potential, then, you know, the Celtics definitely have something here. And whoever's the starter, whether it's David Lee or Amir Johnson, and you know, I like the look of the lineup that, you know, that you mentioned, basically just swapping out David Lee for Amir Johnson with the lineup that started the game tonight. That gives you a fairly deep bench, and we could talk about that a little bit more later as well. But another of the new additions we're going to talk about a little bit later as well. I like what I saw from Amir. I've liked what I've seen from Amir Johnson in the last couple of games. David Lee did not play in the game last week, so again, small sample size with him. But he is another guy that brings veteran leadership to this team, and obviously championship pedigree now, playing for the Warriors last year. Although, you know, he kind of had a reduced role. Another guy that really brings veteran leadership, that's saying all the right things and kind of knows his role. But from the standpoint of him coming to Boston and probably having a bigger role than he had with Golden State, Jess, do you think that a resurgence of David Lee is possible? I mean, he played for this Knicks team. You know, we've seen what he can do, playing against him in the Atlantic Division. You know, can there be a little bit of a resurgence of David Lee with this Celtics team and have him really make an impact on the squad this season?
Absolutely. Give him time and he'll give you whatever you need. I mean, if you look back at his numbers, I mean, really, he's done great every single year up until last year. Just 2 years ago, he averaged 18 points and 9 rebounds a game. He's had 2 seasons of 20 points per game. He's had 4 seasons of over 10 rebounds per game. This guy's a really good player, and he has been for a long time. And now, like you said, he has that championship under his belt. I kind of compare Lee coming here as maybe a lesser version, but kind of a similar version of Paul Pierce on the Wizards last year. A lot of young guys, a lot of guys who are excited to play, want to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you bring in this guy who's been in the league for 10, 15 years, and he teaches guys what it's like to be in a championship team. He kind of gets their head in the right shape and pushes them to want more. And I think that's exactly what he can do. And if they give him more minutes, like last year he averaged 18.5 minutes per game, which was down from between 33 and 37 the rest of his career. So if they can get him, you know, 25 to 30 minutes, then I don't see any reason. He's just 2 years removed from 18 and 9. I don't see why he can't do it again.
Yeah, there was an interesting stat that CSNNE had thrown up during the game as well with David Lee. And I think, and you may have this in front of you because I know you're looking at some of his career stats. I think he's played in something like 650-something career games, and it was pretty close, if not a little bit more than half of his games he's gotten a double-double in. And that's something that I think could be huge for this Celtics team, whether he plays 20, 25 minutes and starts a game or comes off the bench in what should be a very deep bench for the Celtics this season and can contribute those kind of numbers. That would be huge for this team this season, I think. And like I said, the veteran leadership that they're bringing, you know, in addition to the young guys that they have on this team that they drafted onto this team is going to be a big help for them. So we're going to open up the FanDuel call lines. Give us a call, 347-215-7771. Get in queue right now. We'll be taking your calls as soon as we get some callers in queue here at 347-215-7771. The FanDuel call lines are toll-free, and they're powered by FanDuel. FanDuel is a leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts. They're paying out over $75 million a week this season. I love the salary cap format. I don't know about you, Jess, but basically, if you've never done this before, you could pick any players that you want for just 1 week. Entry fees start at just $1, so anyone can play. Go right now. Go to FanDuel.com. And you can use the CLNS promo code Celtics for a free play. That's FanDuel.com, and use the CLNS promo code Celtics, and you will get a free play today. So give us a call on the FanDuel toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. All right, Jess. We had a brief discussion about the new additions here, and there's one more of the new additions that I want to talk about, but I'll get into that a little bit later here. Jared Sullinger, I had mentioned him. He led the Celtics tonight. He had 16 points. You know, after the game he had last week against the Nets that he really didn't play well in and didn't even get that many minutes and looked pretty sluggish out there. I thought he played a very good game tonight in his time out there. He played 19 minutes, 6 of 10 shooting, and along with those 16 points, had 8 rebounds and 6 assists. Now, the thing with, you know, obviously we know the biggest thing with Jared Sullinger is his conditioning and the shape that he's in. And, you know, there was a big deal made about his offseason and what he was going to do to get in the best shape that he possibly could. To be ready, to be NBA ready, basically, to have an NBA body ready for, you know, for the season. And of course, you know, we here, even at CLNS Radio, have been very critical of Sullinger, and you know, of course, Larry Russell has been very critical of the team and how they've handled the situation, and really from a nutritional standpoint, how you know, how these athletes are handled by the Celtics and by the league in general. You know, it's clear that he did lose a little bit of weight. I wouldn't say that he, you know, changed his body all that much. You know, you can kind of see a little bit in his face, but I mean, his body is still big. Did he do enough in the off season to get into the type of shape that he needs to compete at this kind of level that he competed at tonight, game in and game out for 82 games, throughout the season, and really make the impact that we've all expected him to make in the first, you know, 3 years that he's been in the league and hasn't done?
Well, it's tough to know. I mean, it seems like he was all excited coming into the season. It seemed like he thought he did a good job, but then you still see quotes, you know, Danny Ainge saying he can still improve and Brad Stevens saying he's not where he needs to be at. And everyone seems to still be questioning it. And like you said, he doesn't look that different, but he still could be in better conditioning without being able to really like see the difference. That will show up in his play. We'll see if he can do that. I'm leaning toward not good enough shape for the whole 82 game season, which obviously you need to be in, but I'm definitely willing to give him a chance. I know a lot of people are just ready to jump off a bridge with him and just send him right out of town because they're sick of, you know, they're sick of whatever he's doing and or whatever he's not doing really. So I've always been a big Sullinger fan. I enjoy his game. I like, he's got great hands for a big guy. He's got good court awareness. He's a good passer. He's really good down low. He gets a lot of rebounds. He's got so much potential. and he does flash it occasionally. And, you know, just tonight, like, 6 for 10, good shooting game, 16-8-6. Like you said, that's very solid numbers, 3 blocks as well, and only playing 19 minutes. So if he's able to be in good enough shape to play longer than that and to actually get a spot on the team and play, you know, 30 minutes a game, which might not be possible, but if it is, if he can do that, then he could put up some pretty big numbers because he's a valuable guy. And, you know, you saw at the end of the game when he was in with all the younger guys, he was getting the shots, and he had a couple shots in a row to essentially put the game away. So he's definitely a difference maker, and I'm not ready to jump off the bridge with him. I really want him to get another chance, and I know the chances are slim at this point, but I think he's got so much potential, and he's still young still, and I really want to see what he can do.
Well, here's the thing, Jess. I mean, there was a lot of expectations on him coming out of Ohio State. You know, obviously, you know, due to the red flag of his back, you know, his draft stock slipped, and he didn't get drafted as high as a lot of people thought he might. And, you know, at the time, Danny Ainge thought that he had the steal of the draft in getting Jared Sullinger. Now, you know, obviously, like you said, there has been flashes of you know, I don't want to say greatness, but flashes of good play from him, and play that we thought we expected to get out of him. But he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been conditioned. He did have the back issue flare up on him that he had to have surgery on and missed half the season. You know, he needs to take it to a whole nother level now. And you know, Timmy Scafani and I talked about this when we did the post game last week. You know, he hasn't done enough to get himself ready. I mean, maybe he's taken a step in the last week, and in playing tonight the way he's playing. The consistency is the biggest thing with Jared Sullinger. He needs to be consistent because he has the games where, like tonight, where he scores, you know, 16-9-8 and plays well in 20 minutes and has 3 blocks. And the thing that I've loved about Jared Sullinger is that he knew how to use his body, and he played fundamentally sound. He rebounded fundamentally sound. He could play with his back to the basket. You know, even though he was undersized, he was in there in the trenches getting rebounds. But I wonder, I personally feel like he may not be here. If he can't be consistent, you know, he may not be here after the trade deadline. You know, obviously his value is fairly low right now. You'd get, as I said last week, you'd get 50 cents on the dollar for him. But are we to that point yet? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously I know that you feel strongly that you want to see him get this, get another chance here and a chance to prove himself. But, you know, if the first month of the season goes by and we're seeing inconsistency from him, or if he's missing games, or if we see him dogging it out there, you know, what's going to be the next move for Danny Ainge and, you know, in Jared Sullinger as a Celtic?
Yeah, no, you absolutely nailed it. He has to do this every game. I mean, he's at the point in his career, obviously he's still young, but he's at the point in his career where he really needs to prove it. And I'm sure they have a really short leash on him because everyone's been all over him, as we said. So I agree. I don't think if he shows that he can't do it consistently, I wouldn't be surprised if they shopped him pretty quickly, because short leash and the problems in the past. I mean, yeah, if he's not putting up solid numbers, you know, 15-10, 18-10, if he gets enough minutes, you know, if he doesn't put up those numbers, and even, I mean, he really is at the point, unfortunately, that he can't show any weakness. You know, if he is, like you said, dogging it or sluggish or can't finish the game or he's barely getting that path to court, then they're not gonna stick with him, because that's showing that he's doing the same thing that he's done. So he has to be in shape. He has to be able to get up and down the court. And if it's tough for him, he's got to just fake it and just do his best, because there really isn't much more time on him. And you assume he knows that. So you assume he put his best out there, and I hope he can consistently play, but it's not going to last long if he doesn't.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jess. And so we'll be keeping an eye on Jared Sullinger. The Celtics do have another preseason game, one more preseason game tomorrow up in Manchester. Jared Weiss will be there to cover it for CLNS Radio up there at the Verizon Wireless Arena as well. And we are less than a week. We're 6 days from the start of the NBA season already. It seems like It just ended the other day here with the Warriors winning the NBA Finals, but we're back already. And CLNS Radio, the CLNS Beat podcast series, and Audible are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, sports, and periodicals. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics to claim your free audiobook. I will tell you, Jess, I have done this. I've been, obviously the last couple of months have been a little bit busy for me, so I haven't really gotten into my next book, but I've read Bob Ryan's book, Gribe, and also Pedro Martinez's book through my subscription to Audible Podcast. So go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and claim your free audiobook today. And, the FanDuel call lines, the toll-free call lines, are open, 347-215-7771. Jess and I have a lot to talk about, but we want to talk with you about it as well. And don't forget to tweet at CLNS Celts PG Show to get your tweets read live on the air by the CLNS hosts. That would be Jess Thomas and myself. And don't forget to follow Jess on Twitter at CLNS underscore Jess Saying, right? Is that what it is? CLNS underscore Jess Saying?
Yeah.
Clever. It's a clever Twitter handle, I have to say that.
Well, I'm not going to take credit for it. It was Nick Gelso. He kind of picked it for me. And I went with it. I said, I like it. That, sounds good.
That's why he is who he is.
That's a good way to put it.
Absolutely. Follow me at CLNS underscore Sean. That's S-E-A-N. Yep. So again, Jared Weiss will be calling in a few minutes here from the locker room at TD Garden with some thoughts on tonight's game. And obviously, as we prepare for the season, you're going to want to continue to follow CLNS Radio as we're back in the TD Garden again. The Garden Report is back. The Garden Report, if you don't know, is our HD postgame show that's shot on the parquet floor at TD Garden. But we also provide high-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews. So subscribe today. Go to youtube.com/CLNSradio. We are the best of written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. So for the best of our audiovisual, don't forget to turn to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNSradio. All right. I mentioned the new additions, Jess, a little bit earlier. Amir Johnson and David Lee. You know, obviously, both of us agree that they're going to be very impactful to this roster. Whether you know one of them starts and one of them comes off the bench or whatever the case may be. You know, I've read a couple of articles about Brad Stevens going to be moving around the rotation quite a bit and seeing what he's had out there. So. These guys are going to have to be ready to go. But another acquisition in the offseason, and he's kind of been a forgotten man. And I wasn't sure how much of an impact he could have made on this team anyway. So it was kind of interesting that this deal was made. But the Celtics had traded for Perry Jones from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he's kind of been playing in that group in the fourth quarter here with the rookies and you know, and the guys that may not necessarily be on this roster come next Wednesday night and maybe shipped up to Maine with the Red Claws. But Perry Jones, kind of the forgotten man on this roster here. And when, you know, thinking about topics that we were going to discuss on this show and looking at the new additions, I almost forgot about him until Brad Stevens threw him in there and I saw number 38 up there. I go, who the heck is that? So Perry Jones, they make the trade for him. He hasn't really done much in the preseason. What are your thoughts on him? You know, can he even make this roster, first of all? Has he done enough? Has he been able to do enough to even get on this roster, first of all?
No, I don't think he has. And it's sad because, you know, he's been in the league for 3 years with the Thunder. He's the 28th overall pick in 2012. And you know, in his first 3 years of his career, he's only averaged 2, 3, and 4 points per game. So he hasn't done a whole lot. He's only 24 years old, but it's a little concerning for him. He's sitting here in the preseason and he's getting outplayed by Jordan, Mickey, and RJ Hunter, you know, all these guys who just got into the league as rookies now, and he's barely getting any time. He only played 5 minutes and 38 seconds tonight and didn't even get a shot off, had a couple of rebounds. I missed a game earlier in the preseason due to a death in the family, which is unfortunate because mm-hmm. he really needed every game to really show what he can do. And I read an article talking about him where he said that kind of threw him off and he's had trouble kind of integrating himself into the lineup. But the thing is, if you can't do that in the preseason, if you're having trouble in the preseason, then it's probably not going to get a whole lot better in the regular season. And he really hasn't shown in the regular season that he can do much of anything either. And he's already getting outplayed and outminuted by guys that are younger than him. So I don't think there's a spot for him on the team. I think he's made it pretty easy on them to have him be the one that's the odd man out, which is sad because, you know, being his fourth year, like, you want to get into the league and establish yourself, but he just thoroughly has not been able to and hardly even gotten a shot to play in the preseason. So I don't see a lot of hope for him.
Now, was it just a draft pick that they gave up for him. Do you remember what the deal was?
I don't.
I thought it was just a draft pick, maybe a second-round draft pick. So,
the 2019 second-round draft pick in consideration.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. So, a future draft pick, second round. I mean, you know, it's very difficult for second-round picks to make an impact. You know, we're going to see how RJ Hunter does with the Celtics, and we'll talk about him more in a little while here as well. But yeah, Perry Jones seems like, you know, he's going to be on the outside looking in, unfortunately. And I don't know if this is a situation because he's, you know, going into his fourth year in the NBA where, you know, he can swallow his pride and go to the D League and get some playing time and build that confidence back up and actually, you know, develop a game again, for himself to be able to get back into the league, or if the Celtics went and just straight cut him. You know, if he even has a job in the NBA, you know, obviously going into the season, you know, these roster spots at this point are pretty much filled up unless you have an injury or something like that happens, you know, in the last preseason game or maybe the first, you know, first game or two of the season where you're going to be looking to bring somebody onto the roster. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, is it an opportunity for him to kind of swallow his pride and gets a playing time in the D League, or is this a situation where you think he may actually be able to get picked up somewhere else and make a squad?
I think it's possible he could make a team if, like you said, it was an injury or if it's some worse team that just like basically needs players to fill space because their team's not good enough. Maybe that would be a good opportunity for him. And that's the problem with his career is he's just not gotten minutes, you know, 12, 13 mm-hmm. minutes a game. That's not really enough time to do a whole lot of anything. And clearly he hasn't shown that he's capable of doing enough in those 12 or 13 minutes to really get anywhere with his career at this point. So maybe, I don't know, the D League would probably be most beneficial to him. So he could, you know, if he's the best player in the league in the D League, then maybe he might get another shot at some team. I mean, I thought he had potential coming into his career, and I was a little excited to get him just to see if he could do something, but just not enough. I mean, I think at this point, probably the D League is probably the option for him.
What are his strengths as a player, to your knowledge, Jess? I mean, what did Danny Ainge see in him that kind of made him want to bring him over here and give him a chance at making this team? You know, that he really hasn't been able to prove in this preseason.
Well, I know he was a good scorer in college. I'm looking at his numbers here. He had 14 and 13.5 points per game in college when he got minutes, you know, 30, 33 minutes. Good field goal percentage. He shot 55% in his first season and 15 in his second season. And I think most importantly, a good rebounder because he is 6'11". He's a big dude.
Yeah. And he's got the size and athleticism, that's for sure.
Right, he's skinny. I mean, he's 6'11", 235, but when you're almost 7 feet, you should be able to grab some rebounds, and he did in college. He had in the mid-sevens in both of the seasons, so obviously he's a guy who can score if he gets minutes, and he can get some rebounds, and he's got a good shooting percentage, but I guess that's what Danny saw. It just hasn't translated.
Well, we'll see what happens. But like I said, I think Perry Jones may be the forgotten man and the guy that's on the outside looking in here. Again, FanDuel call lines are open, 347-215-7771. Not to say that Jess and I aren't sick of talking to each other just yet, but
we got a whole season for that. Well.
Yeah, we got a whole season for that, a whole long season for that. We're still at -2 on games here, so we got 82 full regular season games to go. CLNS Radio will cover all of them this season. Jess, you're hosting game one next Wednesday night, October 28th against the Philadelphia 76ers. So of course that will be a great show. But yeah, definitely give us a call and let us know your thoughts on the on this one tonight. Jared Weiss will be calling in. He just texted me. He's calling in 3. So in 3 minutes we will hear from Jared Weiss and get his thoughts on the game tonight. So that'll be good. Of course, you can tweet at us at CLNS Celts PG Show, and you can get your tweets read live on the air by CLNS hosts. And Jared was able to interview Amir Johnson, so maybe we can get a little bit of feedback from him on the Amir Johnson interview, which would be really great as well. So again, give us a call, 347-215-7771. On the FanDuel toll-free call lines. We'll get into this a little bit, and then we'll see once Jared calls in. We may have to go right to him. But Marcus Smart, obviously, is into his second season with the Celtics. You know, he talked about during the preseason, you know, being a little bit hampered by that ankle injury that kept him out, and he said he was never really at 100%. So he's had a full off season to get to be 100%, you know, going into a training camp and going into a preseason, knowing what to expect, having been through it as a rookie, and, you know, really is going to take the next progression in his NBA career. You know, obviously second year, you worry about the sophomore slump. And, you know, obviously there's areas where he needs to improve. You know, this is going to be an integral year for Marcus Smart as he leads this team. So we'll get back into this a little bit later, Jess, but, right now we're going to bring on Jared Weiss, and we are going to have our newest segment on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. And that is the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report. Grandstand sports highlights from fans in the stands. On the new sports app Grandstand, you can share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. Download Grandstand on the App Store today or at grandstand.me.com. His name is Jared Weiss. He is calling in from the TD Garden. Jared, welcome to CLNS Radio's post-game coverage, Celtics and Knicks preseason action. How was it being there tonight?
First off, Sean Backe, it's been way too long since I've heard your voice, so this is the best part of the evening for me.
Oh, thank you. I'm blushing.
And I have to quickly plug Grandstand because I'm really excited about this because I have been observing Grandstand while it's been developed over the past year or so, and it's an incredible app, and it's so exciting to see Grandstand in action now and to be partnering with them. I'm really excited about it. When you watch the Garden Report, which we're about to go film after this call, and you tune in tomorrow morning, we're going to see a new segment of ours. It's the Grandstand Play of the Game, where we're going to actually choose a play. We're going to get rid of our old boxing out and baller of the night segments, and we're going to do a Play of the Game segment using footage from Grandstand. It's going to be really cool, really exciting, and a fun way to make the Garden Report and Celtics coverage is more socially interactive. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, you had a chance to speak with Amir Johnson, and Jess and I talked about him earlier. You know, he was sort of the big free agent splash coming over, this offseason. And, you know, I've liked what I've seen from him so far and in the small sample size. And he had a great block on Carmelo Anthony going to the hoop tonight. So what are your thoughts on Amir Johnson and what was it like to get a chance to speak with him, and what did he have to say? If you could preview that for us, because I know that'll be up on CLNS Radio and you know, on our YouTube channel very soon.
So, yeah, we'll have that on YouTube. We'll have it as a part of our part two of the Garmin report, where we're going inside the locker room and talk to the players. So the Amir Johnson, before we even talk about basketball, he is someone that's received a lot of popularity because he likes to participate in the annual Toronto Zombie Walk. And he's the Zombie Walk in Boston happens every year, which almost didn't happen this year, and it's actually going to still be happening, hopefully with Amir Johnson this time. It takes place on Saturday. And I figured, you know, with Halloween around the corner, why don't I ask you about the Zombie Walk? And I found out that it's actually happening this weekend. So I stopped and sit down with him, but I stood next to him, and we talked for a few minutes after the game, and you'll get to see it on the Garden Report postgame show tomorrow morning. But he talked about how he got into the Zombie Walk. He's a huge zombie fan movie. He actually said that it kind of surprised me. I asked him what his favorite zombie movie is, and he said it was World War Z, the one with Brad Pitt that came out last year. So I heard it isn't that good, so I'm not going to slam his choice in zombie movies yet. I would have gone with 28 Days Later, or my favorite movie ever, Shaun of the Dead. But Amir's a really fun guy, really nice guy. I enjoyed talking to him. And then as far as watching him playing on the court, he's everything the Celtics need. He is a rare combination of someone who is both intense and capable and hardworking, but also very savvy. He's a very smart guy. And this is a guy that came out of high school and was a really, really raw player throughout his entire rookie contract. Toronto stuck by him. They gave him an extension. And over the course of his after rookie extension, I think he proved to be one of the better role players in the one of the best role players in the NBA. He's a guy that's capable of being a starting center for a stretched pace and space team like the Celtics. And I think he's probably, you know, he may not start because this is one of those teams that I think is really an asset and a virtue in that the starters aren't necessarily the most important players on the team. It's just a matter of mixing and matching lineups at work. And also the starters are going to change a lot based on matchup. But Amir Johnson, whether or not he technically starts the game at an opening tip, he's going to be the finisher. And he's going to be one of the most crucial players on this team this year. And it was a great signing. The fact that they can get him for $12 million a year, and the next year of his deal isn't even guaranteed. They have the option on him there, so they have the flexibility in the big, super free agency extravaganza when they have all this cap room. The Amir Johnson signing was one of the best signings in the entire NBA of the offseason.
Well, talking about this game tonight, obviously we saw some great things out of Jaren Sullinger, but obviously he's been a very polarizing figure, to say the least, this offseason for the Celtics. Luka tonight with 16 points and 9 rebounds and 8 assists. But, you know, what are your thoughts on Jared Sullinger, what you've seen from him so far this preseason? And you know, what are your expectations for him in 2015, 2016, as they really need, the expected Jared Sullinger that we thought we were getting over the last few years this year?
Well, I didn't expect coming into tonight to be writing the game story with Jared Sullinger as a star of the headline, but that was a surprise. But, you know, Sullinger looked – actually, really, I was about to say he looked great in the second quarter. He had, like, 10 points and 6 rebounds, I believe. I didn't even think he was that great in that quarter. And at least at the beginning of the quarter, he made some big plays as it went on. Sullinger isn't playing within himself right now. And you know, I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze him from afar. But comparing the way that he's played in the past, the things I noticed the most is conditioning is an issue. He doesn't look like he's in better shape despite all the previews we were seeing over the summer, which obviously set the bar too high, and therefore everyone's very disappointed. But he doesn't look comfortable in his game, and he looks like he's trying to fit in with this team all over again. And, you know, he caught his stride later in the game, He played well in the fourth quarter. It was definitely a crucial part of that fourth quarter run to really ice the game. But the guy just doesn't look like himself right now. And himself was already someone that was struggling to be qualified for an extension. There's no way in hell he's getting an extension this week unless he agrees to, like, the mid-level exception. He's not getting an extension this week. The Celtics end up trading him in the fall or the winter based on the way it's looking now. He needs to turn things around quickly because, you know, if it was last year, there wouldn't be as much pressure. But he's got two really good veteran bigs in Amir Johnson and David Lee in front of him. Tyler Zeller, who's really coming into his own, is one of the best, one of the good centers in the league. And I don't think Jordan Mickey is going to put too much pressure on him right now, but Jonas Jerebko is good, and he's a solid shooter, and he's a rebounder, and he can play a lot of the minutes and role that Jared Sollinger is playing. Jared Sollinger is a stretch four right now. He's not really banging down low that effectively, and Jonas is the guy that can do all the things that they want Jared to do. He's not as dynamic and versatile and dominant as Jared, but he fills the role. And Brad Stevens right now, he's got skill guys like David Lee and Kelly. I didn't even mention Kelly Olynyk yet, you know, to fill those roles. He needs a guy that's a reliable stretch four. And if Jared Sollinger's not going to give it to him, they know that Jonas Jerebko will. So if Turner, I mean, if Sollinger wants to play, he's got to get in better shape somehow over the next 5 days. He's got to show something in Manchester tomorrow night. Otherwise, he's not going to be getting many rotation minutes.
Well, still a good game for him tonight. Hopefully he can put a string of them together, and we'll see what happens. Now, Jared, I know you only got a couple minutes here because you have the Garden Report coming up that you have to film. So, Jess, anything for Mr. Weiss before we let him get to get over to the Garden Report?
Yeah, Jared, nice to chat again with you. Looking forward to another season.
What up, Jess?
I want to hear your thoughts on the rookie core, Terry Rozier, RJ Hunter, and Jordan Mickey. I want to know what you think, because we've seen flashes of a couple nice things that Rozier's played very well in the preseason. Do you think any of these guys have a chance to play a decent amount of minutes, or are they all going to be subjected to the D-League this year? What do you think?
So that's a really great question. It's one of the – I'd say it's not the pressing issue on this team as far as, like, really affecting the team's playoff run or whatever right now. But it's one of the most important things that Brad Stevens has to solve over the next couple weeks. They're going to have to send someone to the D League. Mickey most likely going to go to the D League. And it's very clear Jordan Mickey is a second round pick. He is very clear. He is a first round talent, and he fell there mostly because of just team need and players that were drafted in front of him. But there's no question watching what Jordan Mickey's doing out there. He may be listed at 6'8", but his effective height is 6'10", when you consider his athleticism and his standing reach and his wingspan. I mean, the guy is a 6'10 shot blocker as far as I'm concerned. He is going to be good. James Young hasn't really shown much yet to make me think he's going to be in the rotation. And Perry Jones is going to be either traded or waived in the next few days. I haven't seen anything from Perry, and Stevens hasn't really given Perry the opportunity to make it look like he's going to somehow force someone else to get traded off his team, since he's the only non-guaranteed roster guy left besides Corey Walden. So that leaves Rozier and RJ Hunter. I can tell you, I sat next to a friend of the show, friend of everybody, Kevin O'Connor, during this game, and so we spent the entire game debating different stuff, although we agree on pretty much everything. And we spent pretty much the entire game debating Terry Rozier and RJ Hunter's role. And RJ Hunter is showing that he is such a savvy player and such a hardworking player that you have to put him in your rotation now. Now, he's not going to be – I don't think he's going to be ready from a physicality and speed standpoint to be playing, like, against first-unit guys and, like, top-tier second-unit guys. But RJ Hunter is – a 10-minute-a-night guy right now, at least a 5-minute-a-night guy, probably a 10-minute-a-night guy, because he's a solid shooter, and he's going to probably turn into a really good shooter down the road. And he is so good with the ball. He's not like an advanced dribbler, and if he gets trapped in the corner, he's not going to be able to get out of it smoothly. He's going to pick the ball up and try to toss it to someone and probably get turned over. But he can run the pick and roll. He can slip really nice pocket passes. He can play defense, and he can run off the ball really well. And he's such a smart player. He's such a good passer. He's going to carve out his role on this team. And then when it comes to Rozier is kind of placed in the same slot that Phil Pressey was placed last year, where he's getting about 5 minutes a night. I really liked Phil Pressey. I'm a big fan of Phil Pressey, and I hope he succeeds in Portland. But Rozier is obviously a step ahead of Pressey when it comes to defense, pressure on the ball, both as in transition as an offensive player and defensively, both in transition to half court. And he's shooting the ball pretty well. He's a good spot up shooter. I mean, plus minus stats are pretty mediocre, especially during the preseason, but he tied for the lead tonight with a plus 15 playing 22 minutes. Can't really disregard that, but Rozier is showing that he's a guy that can probably shoot off the dribble as far as the 3-point line right now, but he's a good spot up and catch and shoot 3-point player right now. If you're hitting a 3-pointer on this team, you're playing. It's as simple as that. And Rozier and Hunter are both guys.
Six of eight so far. That's 6 of 8 so far, right? For Rozier. Yeah, that's pretty good.
He went 2 for 5 tonight, so I think it's 6 and 9 at this point. But I think it's like a half-court heave or whatever, so we won't even count it. But, yeah, I mean, Rozier looked really nice tonight. Again, he's a comfortable shooter. Like, for God's sake, the guy's a rookie point guard that's a comfortable shooter. I mean, what more could you ask for from Danny Ainge at the 16th pick, right?
Right, exactly. Hey, one last question before we let you go here, Jared. You know, obviously we talked about, Jess and I talked about the starting lineup and what it might look like, but, you know, my feeling anyway, and I think Jess agrees with me as well, that the Celtics have one of the deepest benches in the league. Do they have one of the best benches in the league, you know, on paper right now before even starting the season?
Oh, sure. I mean, the bench could be interchanged. Like, the 5 best players on the bench could be interchanged evenly for the starters tonight, and it would look like the same team. I mean, looking at the bench here, you could have a starting lineup of Isaiah Thomas, Evan Turner, Jonas let's say maybe R.J. Hunter or Jarebko, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Sullinger and Amir Johnson. That starting lineup is just about as good as the lineup that they're putting out there. So Celtics have a very deep bench. They've got 11 guys that are rotation players right now. And there's very few teams in the league that could say that. So with them, it's the same issue that we've been talking about over and over and over again for the past year. It's just that they don't have the top-end talent to make them a 50-win team. You know, Brad Stevens, we can say he's a great coach as much as we want without, like, great evidence. But it's just kind of, at this point, you just have to acknowledge, we know that Brad Stevens is a great coach. We know that he can overachieve with any roster you give him. They took last year's roster that carried momentum and a mediocre schedule to turn into one of the best teams in the second half last year. They're probably not going to have that kind of momentum. They don't have the benefit of the weak second half schedule anymore, but they've really bolstered up. I mean, David Lee and Johnson are huge additions. Marcus Smart clearly has improved a lot in the second year. I mean, he looks like a composed passer out there, and he had 9 assists in 27 minutes tonight. So, I mean, last year we couldn't have imagined Marcus Smart getting double digit assists. Now he's knocking on that door in only 26 minutes tonight. So the Celtics are going to be a good team, and they're going to have incredible depth. It's just a question of, are they going to acquire top-end talent this year? And are guys like Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart and, I guess, Jared Sullinger going to take a big leap forward? And Kelly Olynyk, of course. I always forget Kelly Olynyk, but he's an omnipresent figure for this team.
Excellent. Anything else we can expect on the Garden Report before we let you go, Jared?
It's going to be a quick show. We're going to have Jimmy Toscano, as usual, from Comcast Sports.
Oh, awesome.
And
we've missed him.
WEI. Yeah. Oh, I miss Jimmy. Every day that I go without Jimmy, I miss Jimmy. But so we're
and who else
have
you got? I'm sorry.
And then Sam Packard from WEI. So we're gonna talk about tonight's game in the first segment. In the second segment, we're gonna do the second block of the show. We're gonna do our two new segments: the grandstand play of the game, and then we're gonna go 1-on-1 with Amir Johnson.
Excellent. All right. Well, this has been the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report with Jared Weiss. Download Grandstand at the App Store today or at grandstand.me. Jared, thank you so much. Enjoy the Garden Report tonight and enjoy hanging out in Manchester tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to whoever is hosting the show tomorrow night.
It's great to hear your voice again. I look forward to hearing it again soon on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Thanks very much to Jared Weiss there. Always great stuff from Jared there, right, Jess?
Oh, yeah, totally. And, yeah, put him and Jimmy together, that's a good tandem. I see Jimmy, like, almost every day at work, and he's a fun dude to chat with, and he's always got something to say, so that'll be
fun.
Yeah,
unfortunately, he got caught up covering the Red Sox a little bit too much at the beginning of last season, and we missed him on the Garden Report a few times there, but so good to hear he's back. Go to youtube.com/CLNS Radio and make sure you're subscribed so you can catch the Garden Report. Should be up first thing tomorrow morning in Jared and, of course, Kyle George, who produces that for us. They do a fantastic job down there at TD Garden. And, of course, with Jimmy and Sam, that's going to be a fantastic show, so you won't want to miss it. I like to watch it on my big screen TV, you know, although I do watch it on my laptop and my phone as well. There's nothing like seeing Jared Weiss in all his glory on my 46-inch Vizio TV.
Bigger
the better. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So getting back to what we were talking to before we were so rudely interrupted by our locker room reporter, Jared Weiss, Marcus Smart. I mean, obviously, you know, Jared mentioned it. You know, he looked great tonight. You know, his defense is going to be really his bread and butter, and that's going to, you know, help this team a lot in transition and getting out and running the ball, you know, getting some easy baskets. And but, you know, obviously the second year is going to be very important for him, especially now that we expect him to be fully healthy and 100%. As I said, you know, he even said that he was a little bit, you know, a little bit bothered by that injury for a lot of last year. Can he avoid the so-called sophomore slump? I mean, you know, there's areas obviously that he needs to improve as a second year player. But what have you seen out of him so far? You know, again, still a small sample, but what have you seen out of him so far that you really like, or that you think he still needs to work on as he develops into a, you know, a top tier NBA point guard?
Yeah. I like what I've seen so far. I think the thing with him is he's a really good all around player, and he's just turning into that more and more. I think he obviously needs to still improve driving the basket, but I think the ankle injury really stopped him from driving as much last year. So I think he's going to do that better, but just all around the driving, he's got the 3-point shot down. He's obviously quick. He's great at defense. He is pretty clutchy. He's made some nice big plays, including that game when he lay up last April. He's had a lot of good moments. So I think he'll have a good year. He's not necessarily a numbers guy. Like, he's not going to go out there and get you 15 points per game and 9 assists per game. Like, he's just not that consistent at this point. I think he might be at some point in his career, but overall right now, I think you just expect all around good play from him. And one thing I want him to do, I love his hustle. I love his energy, which obviously is what he's all about, but I don't want him to play so hard and go so hard at everything that he gets hurt again right away. He really needs to temper himself and play hard, but in a smart way. That, not to, actually didn't mean to make a pun on his name there, but I do want him to play in a smart way. And it was serious. And I think that,
I'm pretty sure Gorman did something similar during the broadcast tonight, Jess, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's hard not to. But yeah, I just want him to play with an edge, but not danger to his body, because I think more than a sophomore slump, I think the biggest concern for him is a sophomore injury, just like his freshman injury. I really think he needs to just keep it in shape, play well, stay healthy.
Yeah, I think that'll be easier said than done with a guy like him and the intensity that he plays with and the passion that he plays with. But I agree with you. I mean, if he can play within himself and you know, still be aggressive, but not too aggressive, I think, and continue to work hard on defense and be able to really make that, you know, an integral part of his game. You know, he can be an all-star caliber player very soon. You know, whether or not this year, maybe next year, but this is the type of talent that the Celtics have here in Marcus Smart is an all-star caliber player. And, you know, you saw it in spurts tonight. He only had 7 points, but had 9 assists. You know, he plays hard. He can get in there and get dirty and get rebounds if he has to. And if he could stay healthy, this could be a very, very special season for Marcus Smart. And I'm looking forward to that. I mean, you know, obviously there was questions about him coming out of Oklahoma State. There was that incident that happened with a fan and, you know, kind of got knocked around a little bit for that. But he's come here and, you know, he's been on the straight and narrow. There's been no issues with him. You know, for all intents and purposes, he's been a model citizen as a Boston Celtic. And, you know, he's going to be one of those players that fans are really going to gravitate to and love to watch play night in and night out. And I'm going to be one of them, honestly. You know, I love the way he plays the game. And I said this a lot last year, Jess, so this I may be repeating this from, you know, any post-game shows that we hosted together last year. But there's a couple of players on this team that are really special to me and remind me of how it was in the 80s. You know, guys that just come and play hard. They may not get all the accolades. You know, they may not have the big impressive numbers on the stat sheet, but they do whatever they need to do to win games. And that's a guy like Marcus Smart, definitely a guy like Jay Crowder, even a guy like Jonas Derebko. I see that out of Isaiah Thomas. they have a good core group of these lunch pail kind of guys that just know what they need to do to get it done, and they're willing to do whatever they need to do to get it done. And that's what I'm going to be excited to watch this season, is a full season of that, because obviously Thomas came in late and Smart was injured, and this whole group wasn't all together at the end of last year, even though they made a good run. So it'd be great to see what these guys can do this season. And we have some of the carryover guys like Zeller, obviously Bradley, Avery Bradley, and bringing these guys in together and moving forward with this group is going to be something very special to watch, because a guy like Zeller, I talked about him earlier, love the way he runs the floor, love the way that he plays around the basket. They need something like that. Jerebko, obviously, here's a guy we could talk about. I mean, they bring him back. He wanted to come back here. I love the way he played the second half of last season after the trade. He can hit the three. He's a kind of a big guy, so he can get in there with the rebounds. What are your thoughts on Jonas Jerebko and what he can bring to the depth on this team?
Yeah, I definitely want to see him play as much as he can, because he is, like you said, of the 80s teams. He's a guy who isn't afraid to get on the floor and do the little things that the team needs. It may not be the most glamorous things, but the things that you need to win ball games, and that's what he does. I mean, just from tonight, it was just this play just kind of signified exactly how he plays. He drove to the basket kind of wildly. He threw up a kind of a running layup from like 5 feet away from the basket, went off the rim, but he just followed his shot perfectly, ran right by the two defenders, and then tipped the ball in for a tip back. And it was just so natural for him. It just happened so smoothly, and that's just how he plays. And you add in those plays with his 3-point shooting and good free throw shooter, and like you said, he's a pretty sizable dude. He's tall and he's got some muscles. So I think he's definitely a good guy to have. And you like that he wanted to come back here. That's the biggest thing. He wanted to be in Boston with this young team. So I feel like he's definitely a good difference maker. And I hope he can pick up some solid minutes. That's the problem with this team. I want all these guys to get solid minutes, and there's only been so many minutes in a game. But if he can do well like he did last year and keep doing those intangibles, then I'm happy to have him.
Yeah, and Jared mentioned it too, Jess. We keep forgetting about Kelly Olynyk, but you got Olynyk, you got Zeller, Avery Bradley, a guy like Olynyk, he can play on the perimeter and hit the outside shot. Still needs to work on his defense. But what about a guy like Avery Bradley? I mean, here's another guy, that really needs to stay healthy to be consistent out there. And he's probably one of the better, corner three guys in the league right now. Had a couple threes that he hit tonight. And of course his defense, his on-ball defense is phenomenal. And his perimeter defense is, him and Smart out there, that defense is just swarming. What can we expect out of a guy like Avery Bradley this season? Is it a situation where if he is the inconsistent Avery Bradley or the often injured Avery Bradley that we've seen over the last couple of years, that we may need to move on from a guy like this to bring up somebody else in here that can be consistent?
Yeah, you're not going to find much bigger of a Avery Bradley fan than me. I probably sound like a broken record. I feel like I say this about every player on the team. I just really I get into each player, and I really like following each guy and seeing how they do and really sticking with each guy. I hate to see guys go all the time. It always pains me. But especially Bradley, I picked my shirts and jerseys selectively, and I got an Avery Bradley shirt. It was either 2 or 3 years ago. So I got on him pretty young, and I thought that he was going to be a cornerstone. I really wanted him to be one of the best players, and he just hasn't. He's, like Sullinger, he's had some flashes of a very solid play, but just overall too many inconsistent games with 6 points or 8 points or a 3-for-12 shooting game. So the big season for him as well. And I want people to see the Celtics as like Avery Bradley's team. I want people to say, oh, we're playing Avery Bradley in the Boston Celtics. Like he needs to, and should be one of, if not the best player on this team, because he totally has the capability to do it between his defense and his three-point shooting. And if he can just figure out how to drive to the basket, you know, keep knocking down the mid-range shot, he should be one of the best players in the team, especially being on the team 4 or 5 years at this point, being one of the leaders. I want to expect a lot from him this year, and I think he's capable of it, and I think he's shown that he's getting better. He just needs to stay consistent, and he needs to play all season, and I really hope he does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Avery Bradley, like you said, he's one of the elder statesmen on this team. He should be a leader out there, and if he could stay healthy and stay consistent, again, it's going to be a big contribution from Avery Bradley here. You know, here's a guy that, I love to watch him play, love to watch him develop. I want to see him stick around with this team, but he's been in trade rumors since almost day one, Jess, so I can't imagine that that he's not going to be, especially if he's not out there healthy and playing consistently and doing what he needs to do, because he can be, he can be the top scorer on this team. He can be a, you know, probably 18, 19, 20-point guy like your Paul Pierce was a few years ago. Different kind of player, obviously, different kind of scorer. That's the type of expectations that you could have for this guy. So it remains to be seen if he could stay healthy and consistent enough to do that, or, you know, he might be one of the guys that's on the block, not too long from now. All right, well, our friends over at TickIQ, Jess, that's TIQIQ, just released a fantastic rewards-based mobile ticket buying app. I've already got it. I got some events that I'm going to be looking to attend, so I've already picked this up. But these guys already have the cheapest tickets for all Boston sports, and now their mobile app can save you up to 10% more on tickets to any live event. You can set price alerts to be notified when tickets within your price range become available, as well as see all the top deals for games at the Garden, Gillette, and on the road. They aggregate all ticket sellers on one platform and have the most competitive prices out there. So head to the App Store to download the TickIQ app and start saving today. That's TIQIQ. Use the promo code BOSTON for 10% off your first purchase today. That's TickIQ, TIQIQ. All right. No callers on the FanDuel call lines tonight, so we'll have to work on that for next week when we start off for real. The fans are saving themselves up for the real deal. I understand. preseason, all right, you know, you're not really into it. Like we talked about, there's football on tonight. They're probably watching the Seahawks beat the 49ers. Was there baseball tonight, too, or is that tomorrow night?
No, this is the first day of no baseball since the playoffs started.
Yeah, Royals and Blue Jays. Yeah, definitely. I do want to talk about that because obviously you are the co-host of Red Sox Beat on CLNS Radio, so we will talk a smidgen of baseball on the Celtics post-game show before we wrap up. But one thing I did want to talk about, obviously, the team that the Celtics played tonight in the Knicks, they have the wildly talented Carmelo Anthony, even though he's an extremely polarizing figure, especially here in Boston, because we like to give a hard time to the New York guys. Always been a streaky shooter, but it can be an unbelievable scorer. They have a guy in Robin Lopez who they picked up as a free agent in the offseason. They draft a guy in Porzingis, a 7'3 guy from Serbia, who looked pretty damn good tonight, if I don't say so myself. But obviously there's been trade rumors around Carmelo and who else does he really have around him? Their team is not very deep, but, they did pick up a guy in Aaron Aflalo who, if he can stay consistent, could be a good contribution to that team. But there's a lot been talked about the money that they've thrown around recently, and it's starting to free up now. What do you think about the Knicks and what their chances are this season? Do you see them being a playoff team? I mean, was there anything that you saw tonight, even though it was a preseason game, because their starters did play into the fourth quarter and the Celtics basically held them off with their rookies and second year guys. But is there anything that you see that can lead you to believe that the Knicks could be a playoff team?
Well, there's no question they have a better team than last year. I can see that, especially in the roster.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, they're definitely not going to have 17 wins. So I think they'll be better. I don't think they'll be good enough to be a playoff team quite yet. I think Anthony needs to be more consistent, 4-for-18 in the preseason game. Like, come on. That's pathetic. And I do like Porzingis. I was very impressed with him, and I've heard a lot of good things about him. So I think he's a welcome addition. And then having Jose Calderon and Aaron Aflalo at guards is a solid core. I mean, Aflalo's been a solid player in his whole career, and he really, really flourished in Denver. So I really like him, and Calderon's always been a consistent player. And then adding Lopez and then having Derek Williams coming off the bench, who's been a forgotten man after being the number two pick in the 2011 draft, but apparently he's found his team because he's played really well this preseason. He had 14 points mm-hmm. tonight. So
he looked good tonight.
Yeah, if he can continue that in the regular season and not just have it be a preseason fling, then I think that's a good addition. So I think they have a lot better players than last year. And if Anthony could just get his head out of his butt and figure out how to be a leader and, like, you know, work with these younger players and actually win ball games instead of shooting 4-for-18 and getting one assist, like, I'm not a Carmelo Anthony fan, if you couldn't tell.
No. So, absolutely
yeah.
not. Yeah.
I think,
Calderon, no. I mean, I like that pickup for them, Jess, not to interrupt you, but I do like that pickup for him. He's been a pest in the Celtics side for many years. I mean, he's been with a couple different teams, most recently Toronto, and he always seems to have very good games against the Celtics. I don't have stats to actually back that up, so I may be completely wrong, but to my memory in watching games that Jose Calderon has played against the Celtics, I'm pretty sure that he's had some great games against them. You know, he's still a great shooter and good floor general out there. So I think that may be an underrated pickup for them. Obviously, Aflalo is a good scorer as well. So, you know, they get a little bit more depth on that team. But I don't see how, you know, maybe they slide into an 8 spot or something like that if they overachieve a little bit. But I don't see how, you know, you have your star player going 4-for-18 in any game, let alone a preseason game that doesn't mean anything when you're trying to get ready for the season. But you still went 4-for-18 in a preseason game, and you're supposed to be, you know, one of the best scorers in the league. So
he played 31 minutes too. It wasn't like five minutes.
He's a very streaky shooter. He's always been a very streaky shooter. Now, when he's hot, there's probably nobody better, right? You know, other than maybe like a LeBron James or something like that, or a Stephen Curry. But, you know, when he's cold, he's ice cold. I mean, it's the polar opposites. It's North and South Pole with him.
He doesn't do anything to, like, help the team win games when he's not playing well. He just kind of mopes and pouts and just, like, forgets he's a basketball player.
He doesn't play defense. He doesn't pass the ball. Like you said, one assist tonight. That's typical of him. So yeah, he needs to grow up a little bit and be a leader on that team if they want to go anywhere. They do have some guys around him that can play, and that hopefully could stay on the court. It's not like he's got who am I thinking of that they just got rid of. I totally just spaced on who I was talking about. At any rate, a forgettable player that they don't have on their team anymore. and, you know, so he needs to step up and be the leader of this team if they want to go anywhere. Because, again, I mean, over the next couple of years, they're going to have some money freed up. They're going to be able to attract players. Obviously, it's New York, so they're going to be able to bring players in here onto their team. And it's, you know, obviously as Boston fans, we're going to keep a close eye on anything that's going on a few hundred miles away in New York. So, interesting to see what's going to happen with the Knicks. And, you know, obviously the Philadelphia 76ers, they get the number one pick, and, you know, Celtics are going to see him a couple times in the last preseason game tomorrow in Manchester, and then the first game next Wednesday for real at the TD Garden, against the Celtics in the first game of the season. What do you think about those guys?
Tough to know. I mean, they've got so much negativity around them with just all the tanking every season. You know, it's like, oh, the Sixers are always going to be the worst team in the league. They have no future plan. They're just always terrible. I don't know what to expect out of them. Probably not a whole lot. I mean, obviously they got some good young players. They've had a lot of top draft picks, but they just can't seem to put it together and win games. And sometimes it doesn't appear they even want to. So I'll definitely be interested to see how they play tomorrow night. I haven't seen any of them this year, so I like to see what they're all about. But if it's anything like it's been recently, it's probably not going to be too good.
Well, good. Well, hopefully the Celtics will get some wins off them, because Philly has played, despite the terrible records that Philly has had, they seem to always play the Celtics tough for some reason. I don't know. I guess it's just the Boston Philly thing or something. But all right, Jess, we're going to wrap up the show in a couple minutes here. But you know, Mets are in the World Series. The Royals are one win away from the World Series. Red Sox beat has had it covered. We've had some Celtics news today. Great news about John Farrell. His cancer is in remission, so that's fantastic to hear. Jerry Remy's going to be back in the booth for the Red Sox with Dave O'Brien now replacing Don Orsillo, and I guess Steve Lyons and Eckersley are going to join them for a few games as well. What do you think about this year's World Series? Who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, I mean, you can assume it will be the Mets against the Royals. I don't see Toronto winning both games in Kansas City. I think that would be a tall task in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Doesn't lose a whole lot. So I see it being the Royals and Mets.
I mean, if any offense could do it, it's probably Toronto that could do it the way they mash the ball.
Yeah, that's true. They always have a chance, but I'm not going for three. They already won three games in a row in the playoffs, so I don't think they're going to do it twice. So assuming it's Royals and Mets, that's going to be a fun series. I don't know. It seems like it's the Mets' year because of how well they've done, but I just don't see Kansas City losing two World Series in a row. I think that they're hungry enough to get back, and the fact that they're one win away from a second straight is really incredible, and I think they're going to be extremely motivated this time around to win it. They have home field advantage because the AL winning the All-Star game, so I think the Mets' run of glory will come to a halt here in the World Series. I think Kansas City's going to win it. I'm going to say in six.
Wow. All right. Kansas City in six. I got to say, I think the way the Mets are playing right now, there's nobody that could stop them. Their pitching is unbelievable. They have great young pitching down there. And obviously, you know, you saw what the Cubs did against the Cardinals, and in the Mets pitchers put those bats to sleep. And, you know, I think maybe the Royals have a little bit better, record at hitting, you know, 94 plus mile an hour fastballs, because the Cubs were terrible hitters with any speeds in to those levels. But Kansas City's pitching is great as well. And for a team that's been in the basement of the AL for, geez, almost, 30 years now, but to the last couple of years here, it's kind of great to see, some teams like that with the lower payrolls and that are not named Boston and New York, even though I love seeing the Red Sox win the World Series three times in 10 years, of course, but great to see kind of some parity in Major League Baseball. So that's going to be fun to watch. And of course, you guys over at Red Sox Beat will have it covered.
Yeah. I shouldn't have given away my prediction, should I? I haven't said that yet in the show. You screwed me over, Sean. Darn it.
We'll edit out the last couple of minutes of the show here, and then you can save it for that one. Or you can make a completely different prediction.
I was about to say, I can completely change what I just said. Or Toronto can win the next two games, and then I can have to totally change it. We'll see.
Well, again, make sure you are subscribed to CLS Radio's YouTube channel, because the Garden Report will be up in the morning. You won't want to miss that. We are not positive that we will be broadcasting after the preseason game tomorrow, but Jared Weiss will be covering the game in Manchester for CLNS Radio. And, of course, he'll be in the Garden. Three home games to start off the season. Some tough ones after Philly, and then they have to face the Raptors and the Spurs in the first three games of the season, but all at home. So that will be a lot of fun to see. And, of course, Jared Weiss will cover all those games for CLNS Radio. Just any final thoughts on this one before we wrap up this post-game show with the Celtics winning 99-85 tonight?
Yeah, it's just another good game, and they played so well in Europe, and they've been pretty close to being 6-0. They lost to the Knicks by 6 last week, so really fun preseason, good preseason, and a lot of seeing a lot of good stuff from a lot of different guys. So I think it's what we expected, and I mean, I don't know if you could have expected 5-1 in the preseason, because that's pretty darn good, but I will absolutely take it, and it's fun, and hopefully they can carry it over into the regular season and not just have it be a little fake preseason good stretch. So looking forward to the season and seeing if they can do this for a consistent 82 games. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, 5-1 off to a good start. You know, obviously, like I said, it's been tough to get into it being basketball season, but it's here. It's here in less than a week. So the Celtics will have an exciting season for sure. All right. For my co-host, Jess Thomas, who you can catch on Red Sox Beat on CLNS Radio, this is Sean Backe. Thank you so much for listening to the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show tonight, where the Celtics defeated the New York Knicks in preseason action at 99-85. We'll be back very soon, whether that's tomorrow night or whether that's next Wednesday night, where Jess Thomas will have you covered. We'll be back right here on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Thank you so much, and good night. Thank you.